Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of the home of Mardi Gras, Mobile, Alabama. Good morning, Corey Labounty.
Good morning, Coach. Always to join you. A pleasure to join you 52 weeks out of the year here on the Prep Sports Report. And as always, want to give out a shout out to my mom, Sarah Lynn Andrews, who always tunes in and gets up early and gets her Saturday morning started with us.
Well, good morning, Mama Sarah, and Vanderbilt's. I think Vanderbilt's in for a. I think they're so good defensively. I think they have a chance today to make a little bit of noise. We'll see. And I know Mama Sarah would be glad to hear that. Mark Lassiter is worn out, just to be honest with you. Mark and the Bayside Admirals went to Montgomery last night, had a tough defeat at the hands of Montgomery Catholic. Mark texted me last night late and said, "Coach, I'm whipped." So we're gonna give Mark a personal day and let he and Michelle maybe have some family time together. And but Mark will be back with us, I'm sure, next Saturday, and all is well on the front there. So appreciate that. I know Mark is worn slap out. It's just worn out. So what we're gonna do now is we're gonna go through all the scores from last night, and I'll give you the playoff pairings for November the 13th. And so here we go. All right, last night in Class 7A, Auburn defeated Baker 39-3, Central Phoenix City 49, Fairhope 21, Daphne 42, Prattville 33, Hewitt Trustful 55, James Clements 12, Hoover 49, Sparkman 14, Oak Mountain 41, Austin 28, Theodore 40, Enterprise 28, and Thompson 49, Grissom 7.
In Class 6A, round one of the playoffs, Blount defeated Hueytown 40-24. Briarwood defeats Hartsell 31-17. Clay Chalkville smokes Southside Gadsden 63-0. Eufaula over Elmore 52-28. Gardendale beats Fort Payne 52-24. Helena with a big win over Carver Montgomery 22-19. Hillcrest Tuscaloosa defeats the McGill Tulin Yellow Jackets 31-21. Homewood defeats Athens 34-31. Lee Montgomery beats Pelham 23-21. Mountain Brook goes on and gets a first-round victory over Muscle Shoals, 38-7. Opelika with a big win over Wetumpka, 51-28. Oxford, 44, Minor, 6. Pinson Valley, 45, Arab, 0. Saraland, 45, Northridge, 7. Shades Valley, 28, Coleman, 14. Spanish Fort, 26, McAdory, 13.
And in Class 5A, Alexandria, 57, West Point, 20. Andalusia 44, Marbury 7, Central Clay County 45, Satsuma 14, Demopolis 38, Rehoboth 25, Fairview 27, Center Point 22, Faith Academy 49, Sylacauga 13, Gunnersville 62, Hayden 3, Leeds 41, Boaz 14, Parker 35, East Limestone 21, Pike Road 46, Shelby County 7, Pleasant Grove 47, May Jemison 18, Ramsey 56, Lawrence County 20, Russellville 14, Fairfield 7, Selma 22, Carroll 6, St. Paul's 44, Talladega 20, UMS Wright 27, Hopeville 6.
In Class 4A, Round 1, Alabama Christian 56, West Blockton 14, American Christian 65, Geneva 21, Anniston 25, Williamson 16, Bibb County 52, Dale County 21, Etowah 31, Randolph 7, Good Hope 33, North Jackson 8, Gordo 41, Brooks 12, Haleyville 48, Central Florence 18, Handley 32, Vigor 20, Jacksonville 20, Jackson 24, Madison Academy 49, Dora 14, Mobile Christian 17, Cherokee County 14, Montevallo 27, St. James 21. Northside defeats Deschler 20-13. Aniana defeats Madison County 27-24. And West Limestone blanks Hamilton 44-0.
Well, one correction there. Jacksonville 27, Jackson 24. I don't know where we – I think you said Jacksonville 20.
27.
Yeah, 27-24. Good. There you go. Class 3A, Catholic Montgomery 59, Bayside Academy 21, Fife 69, Oakland 21, J.B. Pennington 42, Geraldine 14, Montgomery Academy 24, Providence Christian 9, Ohatchee 28, Lauderdale County 14, Op 14, Greensboro 8, Piedmont 47, Colbert Heights 14, Pike County 39, Hillcrest Evergreen 21, Plainview 41, Vinemont 14, Sachs 22, East Lawrence 15, Slocum 39, Southside of Selma 20, T.R. Miller 42, Dadeville 14, Thomasville 52, Wicksburg 18, Trinity 10, Trinity 10, Flomaton 7. I saw that last night and I said, well, I think that's the team I picked to win it all. Walter Welburn 63, Phil Campbell 20, and Winfield 40, Sylvania 24.
Class 2A, Abbeville 44, Thorsby 6, Addison 22, Colbert County 15, Aliceville 27, Hatton 14. B.B. Comer beat St. Luke's for the coronavirus forfeit. Clark County 43, Randolph County 21, Cleveland 24, Fauntville 0, G.W. Long 17, Laverne 0, Geneva County 48, Highland Home 26, Isabella 13, Arrington 7, Lynette 51, J.U. Blackshear 7, Leroy 54, Lafayette 15, Mars Hill Bible 63, Lamar County 18, North Sand Mountain 19, Southeastern Blount 0, Red Bay 26, Winston County 0, Spring Garden 59, Tanner 7, and Westbrook Christian 42, Section 0.
In Class 1A, Berry 50, Summerton Christian 14, Brantley 65, Billingsley 9, Brilliant 43, Valley Head 25, Decatur Heritage 48, Wadley 37, Hubbardville 44, Cedar Bluff 37, Keith 22, Fruitdale 14, Linden 47, Marengo 14, Maplesville 41, Sampson 0, McKenzie 54, Lochipoca 32, Millery 55, Central Hainville 28, Notasauga 32, Floralla 30, Pickens County 33, Woodville 8, Ragland 20, R.A. Hubbard 16, Sweetwater 61, J.F. Shields 22, Winterboro 30, Hackleburg 8, and Woodland 30, Waterloo 6. Corey in the Alabama Independent Schools Association, Bessemer Academy in 3A, Bessemer Academy 34, Lee Scott 14, Glenwood 55, Clark Prep 20, Morgan Academy 56, Hooper 16, Pike Liberal Arts 45, Monroe Academy 7. In Class 2A, I only have four scores. I guess that's all that, well, three scores. Edgewood 35, Patrician 34. You may have another one on there. Escambia County Academy 48, Springwood 8, and Macon East 28, Wilcox Academy 25. What did I miss in 2A?
Chambers Academy 43, Otauga Academy 3.
Oh, so Otauga Academy, whose coach coached over at the school across from over in Elmore County. He's there now. Boy, all they did was win. Now he's at Otauga Academy and they're suffering a little bit. Class 1A, Abbeville Christian 63, South Choctaw Academy 21, Crenshaw Academy 64, Pickens Academy 14, Jackson Academy 54, Lakeside 14, and Sparta 41, Lowndes Academy 2. We got about a minute, Corey. Big surprise for you last night.
I'm looking at a couple of them. You're looking in Class 6A, I do believe Pelham fell, and they were ranked number 9 in the state. And also, when you're talking about Blount being able to go on the road and absolutely throttle Hueytown, we'll talk to Lev Holly later on in the show about that huge win. Yeah. Those were really the only big surprises that I saw last night. We can break down some of the games that really stood out to us in that next segment and kind of look at our predictions that we had a couple of weeks ago and see how we're faring after the first round.
Wow, I think I'm down and out and the ball's not coming to me. That's the way I feel. Guess we got about 15 seconds here, and I don't hear any music, so I know we're about to go off. But we'll be back with more. We'll give you all the playoff matchups. There we go. It hits in there. Give all the playoff matches for next Friday, November the 13th. And we'll also throw in maybe a surprise or two, because lots and lots of points scored last night, Corey. That may not be the same thing next week. We'll be back with more PSR.
The CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to PSR, Radio Alabama. We're going to go through next week's matchups. And if you have any questions, anything you want to ask, of course, we're not caller-driven, but we certainly take comments and questions on our CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines at 251-343-0106. And we will certainly address anything that you'd like for us to address within the boundaries of our show. Can I promise you that, Corey?
Class 1A round 2 matchups here in the AHSAA High School Football Playoffs. Notasoga at 8-1 takes on Sweetwater at 7-2. McKenzie will be at Linden, Keith at Brantley, Millery at Maplesville, Barry at Woodland, Ragland at Brilliant, Winterboro at Hubbardville, Pickens County at Decatur Heritage.
In Class 2A, B.B. Comer will start their playoff run at Abbeville. Of course, B.B. Comer got a 1-0 forfeit over St. Luke's out of Mobile because of COVID last night. So that will be tough for B.B. Comer, Abbeville having played one round, and B.B. Comer, and they hadn't been in the playoffs in a lot of years. And since Bobby Overton was at B.B. Comer. So B.B. Comer will start the 2020 playoffs at Abbeville in the second round after getting a forfeit in the first round. Clark County at Isabella, Leroy at Geneva County, G.W. Long at Lynette, Red Bay at Spring Garden, Addison at North Sand Mountain, Aliceville at Cleveland, Westbrook Christian at Mars Hill.
In Class 3A, Trinity Presbyterian at Slocum, Montgomery Academy at Pike County, Thomasville at T.R. Miller, Op at Montgomery Catholic, Winfield at Ohatchee, Walter Wellborn at Fife, Plainview at Piedmont, and J.B. Pennington at Sachs.
In Class 4A, Jacksonville at Alabama Christian, Mobile Christian at American Christian. We're going to talk about that one in a minute. Bibb County at Anniston, Hanley of Roanoke at Montevallo, Etowah at Haleyville, Northside at Madison Academy, Gordo at Aniana, Good Hope at West Limestone.
Class 5A, Pike Road at UMS Wright, Faith Academy at Demopolis, Selma at St. Paul's, Andalusia at Central of Clay County, Alexandria at Parker, Pleasant Grove at Gunnersville, Fairview at Ramsey, and Leeds at Russellville.
In Class 6A, Hillcrest Tuscaloosa is at Opelika, Sarah Land is at Leah Montgomery, Helena is at Spanish Fort, Eufaula at Blount, Pinson Valley at Shades Valley, Briarwood Christian goes to Oxford, Mountain Brook is at Gardendale, and Clay Chalkville at Homewood.
Class 7A, Central of Phoenix City will be coming to Theodore to play the Bobcats. Daphne will travel to Auburn. Hewitt Trustville is at Thompson. And Oak Mountain will be at Hoover.
You know, all four of those 7A games. Central Phoenix City at Theodore. Patrick Nix brings his team here. And that should be a barn burner. That should be one heck of a football game, I can tell you that. And Kenny King and Daphne get a big win last night over Caleb Ross's Prattville Lions. And I can only imagine that you can't do it because you can't fill the stadiums up anymore, so we can't talk about home field advantage.
And it's a situation to where I know Kenny King and the Trojans will travel well. Yeah. It's a municipal-type stadium to where you can get a nice-sized crowd social distance-wise. So as many Trojan fans out of the Daphne area that can go, I encourage you to do so. You'll have plenty of space to social distance.
You know, the game really, Mark Lester, and I'm sure Mark Lester will probably be here at this game. Thomasville goes to T.R. Miller, and that should be an exciting high school football game over on Murder Creek, right there in the heart of Bruton. I can assure you that game will be, that'll be a heck of a football game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a situation to where when you get to the second round of the playoffs, even if it was a 4 seed defeating a 1 seed, really the second round, especially in Class 7A, you start weeding everybody out. And, of course, with the classifications in Alabama, only 32 teams that play 7A football, and that means only 16 of them make the playoffs. So their first round only consists of 16 teams, and, of course, you go directly to the Elite Eight. But there's going to be some very good matchups here in the second round. But I will say this, from the Mobile Baldwin County area, there were 16 teams that qualified for the playoffs, 4A through 7A. 1 year ago, we only had 6 teams that were first-round winners. This year, we had 9 out of our 16 teams to advance to the second round. So we got a little bit better. You look at Saraland, hold and serve right there. UMS Wright, again, to be the man, you have to beat the man. They're finding a way to get it done, and never underestimate a Terry Curtis coach team. But also, when you start looking across the board, Eric Collier and them, they get that monkey off their back and get into that second round of the playoffs. So somebody else in 7A besides McGill Tooling gets that win. You look at Theodore and Daphne both advancing. And I still say 6A Region 1 is the toughest in the state because you're talking about Saraland still in, Spanish Fort still in, and Blount still in.
Well, there's no doubt that that's as tough a region as there is in the state. You look at the you look down in Sylacauga in that area, Sylacauga and Talladega kind of carried the torch for those guys. Neither one of them got a really good draw, I can tell you right now. Talladega having to come to St. Paul's and go to E.E. Delaney Stadium. Tough matchup. And, of course, both Sylacauga and then Sylacauga having to come and play Faith. Corey, I watched the half of that game, and I'm going to tell you something. Faith is so doggone fast. They just got so much speed on the perimeter, and they've got 5 different kids that are playmakers, and they're just a good football team, and they're even better than when I saw them earlier this year. Of course, you expect a Jack French team to get better, but they're really good.
Well, here's the biggest thing, Rick. You're talking about Faith Academy traveling on the road and having to go to an undefeated Demopolis team. Now, I'm not saying that region that Demopolis plays in doesn't play in as tough a region as 5A Region 1 is, but I will say that. That's going to be one heck of a football game with Faith Academy traveling on the road, taking on Demopolis. And Demopolis, traditionally, when they play a home game, COVID-19 or not, their fans shut Demopolis down. So, to me, that is where the true home field advantage will come in.
You know, I think it's really neat when you think about it. Jack's first year at Faith, they went to Demopolis and played them in the first round. And that didn't end up so well. This is a much improved football program. And for the most part, I'm not so sure they can play the way they played last night. I'm not so sure if Faith can't play with everybody in 5A from top to bottom. I mean, they are really, really good on both sides of the ball. Their offensive line, they played flawlessly last night. I really wanted to watch one of our buddies, Matt Seymour's son, play center for him. Whoa, what a good job he did. What a big, big, good-looking kid he is. And that whole offensive line for Faith was just incredible. Of course, and that's what I watch. I mean, when that's what you do, mm-hmm. that's what you watch. But they're impressive. They're impressive.
Well, it starts with Shamar James. Yeah. And this is a young man who has 11 Power 5 offers so far, including those recently was Alabama. So that just lets you know the type of athlete that he is. And as he goes, to me, so does the Faith Academy Rams. But you talk about Jack French and the speed that he has. You know, I think Faith Academy being undefeated during the regular season a year ago, you kind of flip-flop those roles now with Demopolis being undefeated during the regular season and during the first round. You know, Faith Academy really has unfinished business and wants to try to get to the top there. And we would love to hear from you and what games that you watched at 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. You can call us up and talk to us about the games that you've watched throughout the high school regular season. You can talk to us about the first round matchups or what matchups you're looking forward to seeing in the second round.
You know, we get a text wanting to know why the AAHSAA will not allow UTV 44 to cover playoff games. Well, they hadn't been able to do that in a lot of years, and I don't think that has anything to do with COVID, does it?
No,
it has nothing to do with COVID. It's that's a different bird. It's a different animal, and it's one we really don't understand. But at the same time, that's been a rule with the Alabama High School Athletic Association going all the way back to Bubba Scott. We'll be back with more PSR right here on Radio Alabama.
The Prep Sports Report is brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
Well, I was born in a small town, and I lived in a small town.
All right, welcome back to PSR, Radio Alabama. If you've never been to Slapout, Alabama, you miss one of the joys in life. I can tell you that. It's right on the banks of Lake Jordan, and Terry and the guys traveled into Slapout last night and literally wore Slapout, and that's a funny name for a neat little community. I got a couple of buddies that live there and absolutely love it. And going back to when Terry and I used to umpire many years ago, there was a young kid running around over there in Slapout, Alabama, who's now the head football coach at the University of Georgia. And Kirby Smart's daddy, Sonny, was a head football coach at Hopeville. And that was kind of neat to remember some of those days. But we got Terry on the line. He's got a meeting with all the other coaches this morning, and he'll sit in the same seat. I can promise you he'll sit in the same seat, wherever it is. I think they met at Gary Coliseum. But Terry will find him a seat, and that will not change. He's got the same black shoes he's worn forever and a day. I'm not going to venture to say everything else he wears, but this guy has got it down to a T. It's kind of neat. It's really kind of neat. I'm not going to give him a hard time about that because I'm the same way. But you guys, I'm going to tell you, Terry, I can imagine when you pulled up to the stadium there, it's just it's different. It's different. We are spoiled at Cooper Stadium.
Well, but it was a nice feel. There was no problem with it. They were more than accommodating, and that was one thing I missed when I was at Murphy and Shaw and those kind of places where those one town schools, where football was important and the whole town closed down to come to them and so forth. And so it's been fun going to some of these places and playing them and the excitement that football brings to a small town.
You had to have just been tickled pink being the athlete that you were in high school and to see Barton Elliott just have the game of his life last night.
Well, he did. He he's only been playing DB for about 5 weeks. We felt like we needed a little bit more athleticism in the secondary, and Barton's a quarterback. Matter of fact, he's a backup quarterback and a dang good quarterback. And the coaches would never mention as far as doing it. So I said, look, can y'all use Bart and Joe Lott? And they looked at me like I was crazy and said, we sure can. So we put both of them over there, and and that's helped us with a little more height and athleticism on defense. But Barton had a great game. He made some great reads, ran one all the way back, and that was a highlight. And then I got Hooper Wingate in the game, who tore his ACL back the first week of practice and stuff. So got him in the game. So it was a good night.
No question about it, Coach. You know, a lot of people say that 6A Region 1 is the toughest region in the state, and also 7A Region 3 is a tough region. But when I start looking at Class 5A from top to bottom, and I looked at the last Sports Writer poll, this was the only classification in Class 5A that had five undefeated teams going into the playoffs, and all five of those teams won and advanced. So that just goes to speak, with you guys moving up a classification, you guys continuing to hold your own, now you will host a second-round playoff game. Talk to us about the competition at Class 5A and your second-round playoff game that you'll be hosting now.
Well, 5A is tough. Steve and them, we were talking about this morning, Steve and them probably get, not your normal second round game, but everybody else is going to be playing first round, number one seed. And you're talking about Faith having to go to Demopolis, and we will get Pike Road, who's supposed to be an outstanding football team at home. So, 5A is another step up. So, our top three teams, I would put right there was the 6A. Steve and them played Spanish Fort and some of those guys, and we played Helena, who won last night. So, our competition level is pretty high, and every week we play good competition. So, I guarantee you're going to be a good football team you come out of 5A.
No question about it. And Coach, for those, we're speaking with Terry Curtis, who's the head football coach at UMS, right, also the athletic director. You know, this mentality that I have, Coach, is kind of the wrestling mentality. To be the man, you have to beat the man. And right now, UMS, right, you guys don't have a target on your back. To me, you placed that target on other teams because, believe it or not, people did not expect UMS, right, to be as good or to be going deep into the playoffs this time this year. A lot of people wrote you guys off with everybody who graduated 1 year ago.
Yeah, and it's kind of what we're about now, Corey. Last night made the 16th straight playoff game we won. That's pretty impressive. I don't care, and every year you've had some new players in there. Yeah, we had some good players last year, and we got some good ones this year and 3 years ago. So, it's kind of, you hate to use the word culture, but we bring our guys up wanting to play football from the third grade. And we play with, our guys and we ask them to make plays, and usually they make plays. So,
Terry, one of the things that surprised me as much as anything was you lose a good, really, you've had Simon Smith for what, couple of years, and really good football player who did all the things that you like in a tailback. And then you get a 10th grader who is just an absolutely tremendous athlete. I mean, he's a good – he play everything. You put Cole back there and you just said, you're going to carry the load. And as good as an athlete as he is, plays three sports. We don't see that too often anymore, Coach. And that's the way
boy,
you
– And, man, he's tough too now.
Oh, I mean, my goodness.
He played with a separated shoulder the last 4 or 5 weeks, and we get him out as soon as we can, but he don't ever complain. He practices every day with it. As a matter of fact, I told some of our hurt guys the other day that Cole's hurt way worse than some of you guys, and y'all just keep sitting over here on the side. So. but he's that kind of guy. And last year he played on defense, didn't play a whole lot, ninth grader. But I would tell him, hey, guys, y'all don't get too excited about Cole now. Because I promise you, he's not going to be on defense next year. So kind of had him in the wings waiting. He sometimes does such a great job, Rick, of seeing the holes. And a lot of times he don't look like he's half running. But he's hard to tackle, and he's got great vision. And that's the first two things you've got to have as a running back.
You know, the other thing is, Terry, you're not going to put anybody back to catch punts unless they catch punts. And one of the things, and I can remember this with Terry, you better not let that punt hit the ground. That punt, that ball is supposed to be caught. We put you back there to catch that punt. I think that may be the most upset I've ever seen, Terry, one night, and I can't remember who we were playing, but somebody didn't catch the punt, and it went about 20 yards on that new turf. And, boy, oh, boy alive, we were playing on new turf, and, of course, our stadium is grass. But you catch those punts, and that you put 14 back there. He catches the punts. He covers kickoffs on the edge. He seals the edge. He does everything. And, I mean, that's just the kind of player. That's kind of the great thing about him. He's only a sophomore.
Yep, and he, you know, and that may have been a turning point last night. You know, we had seen something in their punting game that they didn't cover one of the sides of the field very well, and we kind of knew that if we could get it, that we had a chance. Sure enough, he got it and went 70 yards with a punt return to set up our first score.
Well, I tell you what, Coach, congratulations on the winning streak and continuing to put together a new winning streak in the postseason of play. Always look forward to watching you guys play next week and getting things done at Cooper Stadium. And I know your guys will be very prepared. Enjoy your meeting today with Coach Savarese and the rest of your brothers in the coaching fraternity, and be safe.
It's always fun to see all these guys, man. Thank you, guys.
Hey, Terry, take care. Y'all still at Garrett Coliseum? You still at Garrett?
Garrett Coliseum.
Well, I'm
walking up on the main man right now.
Well, I bet he's not bringing breakfast to you, that's for sure. Take care, Terry.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, buddy.
All right.
We'll see you. I'm going to tell you, Cole Blaylock, and I made this comment last night on radio in Sylacauga, and I caught a little flack for this. I'll be honest with you. He's not Simon Smith.
Right.
He's not. He's better athlete than Simon was. Much better athlete than Simon was. But the thing about Cole is he's young,
mm-hmm.
and he's learning. And he's a much better football player in week 11 than he was in 10 because he hadn't spent a lot of time playing back there. He's impressive, and I'm going to tell you, he's going to be a kid that next year, you watch him start getting on radar.
And I saw him early against Williamson,
yeah.
and I was impressed. But when you're talking about what Coach Curtis has been able to achieve, 16 wins in a row, Pike Road 11-0 will be at UMS Wright next week, who is 7-4. You can throw the records out because
yeah.
it's going to be literally a dogfight. And one thing I love about Coach Curtis and why he's an 8-time state champion, he looks and finds those small weaknesses.
Yeah.
And if the players execute because he's already exposed you, game, set, match
yeah.
for the Bulldogs.
You know, one of the things that in spending, 6 years coaching with Terry, one of the things he would know the number of who makes a tackle. And he immediately could tell you, you know, who did what, who missed what, whatever. He watches so much film that when he sees a number pop up there, yeah, he knows what's happening. I can promise you. We'll be back with more PSR right here on Radio Alabama. And, you know, just more guests. We got who? Lev Holly.
Yes, sir.
We'll be back with Lev Holly from Blunt.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
All right, welcome back to PSR and Radio Alabama. And I'm going to tell you, Corey, I don't know if you probably had never been there. Years ago, we took a Prattville team to Hueytown. And let me tell you something, that's an older stadium. And if Mark were here, he'd tell you it's kind of like the stadium that that Jess Lanier played in, which is Bessemer High School now. It's dark, and they had a legendary coach there by the name of Morris Higginbotham. His son Robert played at Alabama. Steve played at Alabama. Just a great football family. Probably as tough a place to play going from Prattville, which is, I think, one of the toughest places in the state to play at Stanley Jensen Stadium. Going to Hueytown to play is tough, tough, tough. And Lev Holly took the Blunt Leopards up there last night and got a 40-24 win. And to me, that is as impressive as any win from 7A all the way to 1A. And Lev's got just a minute with us here because I know he's got to go in that meeting. But congratulations, Lev, and I know what how tough of a place that is to play, pal.
Yes, sir, man. Just a lot of credit to my kid and the way that they've done things the last few weeks as far as being resilient. Coaching staff coming in, working and grinding every day to put those kids in situations. And you know, the one thing we talked about going to playoff was, you know, let's put them in a situation to be successful, let them earn the right. And when it's all said and done, put them in the best position to keep their season going. So just really proud of them how they've done things.
They've done things the right way. And Troy verbal commit Jairus Williams, he had one of the best high school games in the first quarter that I've ever seen in any state in our union. And he takes possessions of 99 yards, 72 yards, 75 yards. It's 18-0, and he already has 220 yards rushing and three touchdowns, Coach. That's amazing.
Yeah, I think he finished the night with like maybe like five carries for like 250, three touchdowns.
Good gracious.
But it was crazy, you know, how everything unfolded. But, you know, the quiet is kept. You don't expect those kind of numbers that early. But we knew that he could have a really big night on the ground, but we didn't know we'll see it in the first quarter, you know. And, you know, coming out of that fifth carry, I think, you know, kind of thinking maybe popped his wrist, and he could have came back in, and we didn't chance it, you know, thinking we were going to get a chance to play another week. So, man, I'm really proud of him and just how he does it. Like, it's never about him. It's always about the team. It's always about Blunt. You know, one thing that we said, you know, the first 4 yards belongs to Blunt, and the rest of it belongs to you. So, you know, if you look at that, first 20 yards with Blunt and the rest was here. So just super proud of him, and especially the offensive line of getting in, grinding, and believing in him, and he believing in them. So, again, just super proud of the whole effort.
I think you guys had a bye last week. Did that help you guys both physically and mentally prepare for this postseason push that you're going to have? Because I know next week you have a tough matchup against Eufaula.
It did. We went back to the drawing boards, and you know, the week we had Gulf Shores, you know, we keyed on Gulf Shores and then started kind of throwing some Hewittown stuff in. And then the last week, you know, we had an open week. But in the open week, we had a hurricane come through. So we was able to get a few days in. But I think the rest of the hurricane really helped, to be honest with you.
That's good.
We didn't bring our kids back in till Sunday. You know, checked on them every day, made sure they were safe, made sure their family and stuff was safe. So we got a chance to get healthy and heal up, and you know, I think we came out pretty good last night. So definitely good one coming in. So hey, we'll see where I go from there.
Coach, I know you have your meeting, and I want to make sure that you're quoted correctly. You weren't disappointed with the way your team played. You would have liked them to finish stronger in the game because you had that big lead, and I just want to give you that opportunity to go ahead and get that correct, that you were very proud of the way your team played.
Yeah, definitely was proud of our kids, you know what I mean, and I was impressed with how they played, how they came out and started fast. You know, we got to deal with say we start fast, finish strong. Well, we didn't finish strong. I thought we got a little complacent, you know, but hey, we still made some plays in being complacent. So in saying that, you know, hey, it wasn't that I wasn't pleased with them, very proud of them, but I'm talking about the complete game. If you're going to be really good in this time of the season, then you got to be 48 minutes finishing games and doing the small things right. And I don't think we did some of the small things right later in the game, but hey, I'm proud of them. We live to see another day. And like I say, hey, we're going to enjoy this for the next 24 hours, but come Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, we'll be right back in there on the grind.
Coach, enjoy the fellowship with your other coaches who were able to win their first-round matchups, and I know that you'll have you follow on the mind, and I know Leopard Nation will come out in full effect next week at Terrace Harry Field.
Ain't no doubt, man. I appreciate you all and the things y'all do, you and Mr. Cleveland. And, man, I look forward to talking to y'all again next week.
Take care, Lev. God bless you, pal.
Yes, sir. God bless you.
You know, this guy's just done an amazing job. He really has, Corey. The whole group over there, you start with the principal and go all the way down. That's just that's a wonderful group of people, and they have done a wonderful
job. And you're right. It does start with Mr. Jerome Woods. Yep. He does an outstanding job loving on all his kids, and he supports female athletics as much as male athletics. You'll see him at a volleyball game. You'll see him at a cross-country meet. You'll see him everywhere, as well as his administrators, has a great staff over there. So it's always good as a head coach to know that you have strong administration that supports you in everything that you do. But that's a big-time win for Blount to go 4 hours, because last year they lost.
Yeah.
In that first round, it had 8 turnovers or something, and they cleaned it up. But next week, you fall as the challenge, and I'm looking forward. And, Rick, here's the thing, too, about Blount. With the bye week they had last week, and then you look at they weren't able to play football for the first 3 weeks due to COVID.
Right.
Because they weren't able to play Blount-Vigor. They weren't able to play Baldwin County, and they weren't able to play Greenville, I do believe they were scheduled to play. So they didn't play football for the first month, and now they're starting to get better as the season has progressed.
Jerome Woods, pretty good basketball official too. I guarantee you that. You get a chance, and he doesn't want anybody to know he's on the floor.
Right.
He just wants the kids to determine the game on the floor. I love that about Jerome Woods. All right, we got a new group with us now. It's called Rooted and Grounded, and their address is 2754 Dolphin Street in Mobile. And that's Carolyn Pilot Burdett, and she and her husband have opened up a coffee house, but it's not just a coffee house with prayer, but a prayer encounter house that sells coffee. And really, coffee is really the segue. And, you know, people naturally commune and fellowship around coffee, and when you look at Rooted and Grounded, it brings people together. It unites people as one body, and the coffee house is a gathering hall for people of different backgrounds, ages, and walks of life to commune together as the body of Christ. Please, I want you, it's just an outstanding, it's one of the most aggressive, non-passive, really, things that has started here in Mobile, and it's called Rooted and Grounded. 2754 Dolphin Street in Mobile. Go by there. Today they're having their opening. You want to go by there. What an amazing place it is. We're so excited for Carolyn Pilot Burdett and Rooted and Grounded on Dolphin Street. We'll be back with more on FM Talk 106.5.
Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and Corey Labounty.
All right, welcome back to PSR and Radio Alabama. This hour of Prep Sports Report is dedicated to one of ours. This past week, we lost one of the most amazing, genuine, caring, passionate, loving, articulate, just an amazing man in Paul Crane. Paul Crane was an All-American center and linebacker at Alabama in the mid-60s, a Super Bowl champion with the New York Jets, and he passed away this past week at the age of 76. When you look at the legacy that Paul Crane leaves, for every high school coach, he leaves a lesson of love and passion, consistency, and above all, the love for his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And to lose a man like Paul Crane, not only to those who played for him, not only to the people who played with him, but to the people who coached against him for that brief couple of hours on a Friday night, we all lost someone who set an example for what, 6-7 years as McGill Tulane's head football coach that all of us should try to duplicate. Paul Crane was that man. And this hour of Prep Sports Report is dedicated to the memory of one Paul Crane. And one of his dearest, dearest friends was a guy that I love dearly and have learned to love this guy over the past 20 years. Because not only is he a person who can speak to what Paul Crane was as a player, but even more so as a human being and a friend. I always said the only guy that could reach a three technique from the center position was Jimmy Carroll. And Jimmy Carroll knows Paul Crane and knew Paul Crane as well as any human being on earth. And we've got Jimmy on this morning. And, Jimmy, it's your floor. And you tread gently because you're talking about a man who we all love dearly. And nobody loved him any more than you did.
Good morning, Rick. It's a beautiful day. And I want to clear up. I'm going to say a couple of things, and then we'll talk about Paul. I want to say thanks to you and Mark and Corey and all your people that produce your show. Thank you for what you do for the young people at all of these high schools. I don't care if it's volleyball, football, cheerleaders, band, student body. It is great that these schools and these young people can be recognized. So I tip my hat to you. I want to congratulate Eric Collier. He beat my Enterprise Wildcats last night. And of course, my good friends, Terry Curtis and Steve Mask. I tell them all the time, I'm with you win or tie, and there's not a lot of ties in football anymore. And I congratulate Jack French and all, and Lev Holly, all of the high schools down in this area. The victors, and then the ones that came up on the short end, the underclassmen will have something to shoot for next year, and the others, I wish the best of luck. And you mentioned a friend of mine, Kirby Smart. I want you and I will be probably the only ones in this audience that have ever been to Columbia, Alabama.
Yeah.
There at Houston County on the Georgia state line, and there used to be a catfish place. I knew Kirby's dad when he played there.
Ooh.
And what I tell Kirby Smart, he's a great football coach, and it was a great defensive coordinator. But Kirby could have been in the swinging medallions.
Hey, man.
He's got the haircut. He's got the mannerisms. He could be singing Double Shot.
That's good.
And on another sad note, before I get to Paul, we lost another one the first of the week. We lost Conrad Fowler.
Golly.
Wide out, yep, for Alabama in 65, 66, 67. And I want my friend Russ Wood to know that Conrad was 89 before he was.
Played at Shelby County High School, where his father was the probate judge right there in Columbiana.
And Conrad followed in his footsteps. He was a judge and all. So we're going to miss him. And I know that I just want Russ to know that Mac and Paul Crane are either talking football, playing golf, or fishing as we speak.
Yeah.
Paul was a great friend, great man. I think I appreciate the kind words you said about him. And one thing I would like to add that I think is his legacy and a tribute to Paul. Think of 28 years at CYO.
Yeah.
How many young people's lives he impacted. And Paul did it he led by example.
Yeah.
And that is as fine a tribute as we could ever give Paul. He was a wonderful friend, great competitor, but I think, you know, his lasting tribute will be the young people's lives that he touched.
Jimmy, when you think about Paul Crane, you think about that smile, and you think about every time you talked to him, he made you feel like you were the most important person in the world.
I'll say amen to that, brother. He is just he was one of a kind, and it just makes us think how short life is, how fragile, and that we need to hold the people that are dear to us. We need to hold them close. And Thursday, Friday, and today, I'm going to be with, the best friend, one of the best friends that Paul Crane and I ever had, Ray Perkins and I have had the opportunity to just mourn the life of our friend, and so we will pay tribute to him this afternoon, and he will be gone but not forgotten. And before I break down and cry or whatever,
that's okay,
I'm
going to
quote a friend of mine and yours, David Stapleton.
Yep.
Dave is a dear friend, and he and I talked. And I know you got Steely Dan and all this music, but I'm going to go back to my buddy Glenn Frey. You don't know who he is.
Yeah, I do. You think I don't know Glenn Frey?
David and I talk about the Eagles,
yep,
and we talk about a song, a line from a song. You can check out, but you can never leave.
Amen.
The Hotel California. Paul Crane has checked out, but he will never leave us. His memory will live in our hearts and minds forever.
Well said, Jimmy. Well said.
And I appreciate the opportunity to talk about a dear friend of mine and a great, great man that set an example. And I know the Vider family is mourning and grieving, and I know that our University of Alabama family offers tribute. Please pray for Heike and her family and Paul's extended family. He will be missed, but not forgotten.
Amen, Jimmy, and thank you for that tribute, and this hour
thank
is
you,
dedicated
sir. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about my dear friend.
God
thank
bless you.
You,
Jimmy.
God bless.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We'll be back with more PSR right here on Radio Alabama.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
I hate to interrupt Michael McDonald, but John Garcia Jr. gets that plug. I can tell you that. This guy is full of information. He's with SI.com, and boy, what an amazing job he does. I've heard him on a couple of other shows, and just he is so consistent in his presentation and knowledge. And we're just glad he's a part of PSR. And John, good morning. And welcome again to PSR, and we're always glad to have you on with us, pal.
Always good to be on with you guys. Appreciate the kind words.
Hey, John, it's been a crazy 2020 since the restrictions came out in mid-March. We didn't know whether there would be any high school football, but it's kind of jumbled up these 2021 All-Star games that we all look forward to seeing. The latest cancellation this week was the Under Armour High School All-American football game. Talk to us about that postponement, what it means to these high school athletes. I know most of them are 4 and 5 stars anyway, but just from a recruiting standpoint, not only from these guys and their ability to commit at that game and the hoopla and the brotherhood that is built, the changes that COVID-19 has presented, talk to us about it.
Yeah, it's sort of a growing situation. Happy belated birthday to you, Corey.
Thank you, John. Thank you.
So the All-American Bowl was canceled about 3 weeks ago. That's the one in Texas, formerly the Army Bowl. And now following suit, here comes Under Armour, canceling their week in Orlando. And like you said, these are usually the cream of the crop prospect-wise. So none of these kids are going to be hurt in terms of finding a scholarship. So I wanted to preface it with that. But in terms of how colleges react to their game, especially given a year where they haven't been able to see these kids in person, how they evaluate, how we evaluate, you know, even on our side of the coin, is certainly affected by this. And then for the kids themselves, they've earned this ticket. They've earned this week in San Antonio or Orlando to sort of be spoiled. And to see where they're at, because it's good on good every single day in practice. And then obviously you get rewarded with a nationally televised game for some, including a verbal commitment. That is something that is the expectation at this point in the college football recruiting process. We all remember Landon Collins at the Under Armour game picking Alabama and his mother saying LSU Tigers number one. You know, those moments, we won't get that really at all this year. I do understand both organizations are going to try to feature these guys digitally in some type of show, and they are planning on doing some type of commitment announcements in a digital capacity. So you still do get some of that, but obviously it's just not the same.
Yeah, it's obviously not the same, John. But let's go back, and did you really think, because I'll be the first to tell you, I did not think high school football would happen, not only here in the state of Alabama, but anywhere across the country. So I didn't care what games were played and when they were played and how they were played. I knew that we would work out CDC guidelines in regards to mask and social distancing. But did you really think you would have an opportunity to see some 2020 film and guys on the field this football season?
For a large time, we really didn't. When you talk about what's going on and the resources available, obviously the high school level has the least amount of resources at their disposal. They can't test really at all on their own, certainly not as much as college and the NFL, where in some cases they're testing 3, 4, 5 times a week. So that presented its own logistical problems that we thought at one point would be too much to overcome. But lo and behold, the state of Alabama is in the playoffs. It's really remarkable to see how far it's gone. Sure, there have been notable cancellations and unfortunate last-minute cancellations due to certain COVID spikes on certain rosters. But to be able to get in a first round of the playoffs last night, I thought was remarkable. And by all indications, we're going to push this thing all the way to the Super 7. Everything beyond that, who knows? You know, Alabama-Mississippi All-Star Game, the TBD. We see what these other all-star games have done, but if you talk to any one of these kids on these rosters, they want a chance to go win state, and by all indications, they're going to have that.
Speaking of the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star Game, it is scheduled, I do believe, for that week following the Super 7 in Tuscaloosa. But one of the guys who stood out last year at the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star Game was the big tight end slash quarterback, whatever you want to call him, athlete, J.J. Pegues. You and I talked about him being – on the Mississippi side, being the best player on the field. Those are the type of players that I know that you love to watch and to see just make that immediate impact on a campus.
Absolutely. That game is one of the few non-national all-star games that still has a lot of relevance. Kids want to represent their state and play in that game. I mean, Alabama, Mississippi, it seems like it goes back and forth every single year. And there's a kid on each side who breaks out during that week who hits a bit of a higher ceiling on the recruiting trail than he would have otherwise. So there's so much good coming out of that All-Star week. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year. I hope we can get it again in 2020. Fingers crossed, certainly. And everything we hear is that it's still on track. Yes. You know, they've presented the rosters. They've presented the jerseys on each side. So we'll keep our fingers crossed on that one. But it is a great week of practice and, of course, the game itself. Even like the uniforms that I've seen on Twitter.
Yes, sir.
So everything seems to be going in the right direction, but obviously everything is sort of touch and go these days.
Well, one of the biggest splashes in this college football season in regards to recruiting has been the hire of Jackson State, hiring Deion Sanders as the head coach. And what he's trying to do, he's trying to change that culture from an HBCU standpoint at Jackson State, and just got his son to flip his verbal commitment from FAU to Jackson State. Do you think prime time will continue to have that type of effect where student athletes will want to come to play with him and for him at Jackson State?
Yeah, why not? You know, he's got one of the best athletic resumes of all time. He's a charismatic, well-known person by non-sports fans, I would assume, at this point. So it's not a surprise to see some 2021 prospects committing to him. Certainly not his son, Shadur Sanders, a big quarterback out of Texas who he has coached at the high school level over the last several years, as well as on the 7-on-7 circuit. So not a huge surprise to see him follow his father. But, you know, Deion's picking up other prospects. They've got a Mississippi State transfer. They just picked up a high school commitment yesterday from California, a big athlete, Herman Smith, 6'1", 190. So they're picking up prospects nationally, which is something that JSU probably hadn't done. And there's no reason to think that it's because of anything but Deion Sanders at this point. Really curious to see how they approach a spring football season, not only in the HBCU world, but everywhere. Who is planning to play a spring football season? We've really never seen that, so curious to see how that goes. But just like any other coach, the buzz is great. Recruiting is great when you haven't, you know, played yet, but you got to translate it somehow to Saturdays and show some success and some trajectory there as well. But there's no doubt when it comes to buzz, Deion's going to do his thing.
Well, here in about 3 weeks, Lord willing, Rick and I hope to see you at the Super 7 in Tuscaloosa. And if we're not able to see you there, maybe at the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star Game, if and when that does take place also, because it's going to be held at the Crampton Bowl in Montgomery, Alabama. And there's just so much more I want to talk to you about as recruits continue to play their way through the playoffs, as they continue to finish up their huddle film. So you continue to do a great job. And how can people follow you and all of the coverage that you give the entire universe?
Appreciate that. Yeah, SI.com, SIAllAmerican.com. SI All American is the recruiting hub at Sports Illustrated, football and basketball. We've got a lot gearing up on both sports, so we're excited about it as football heads into the state playoffs, really nationally, and basketball begins to ramp up. So check us out. It's all free, SIAllAmerican.com, at SIAllAmerican on all social media.
John, thank you so much. And if we do catch you in Tuscaloosa, dinner's on us. I can promise you that, pal.
That is the plan at this point, so right. I would appreciate that.
All right, pal. You take care. God bless, and thank you for all you do for so many, pal.
Likewise, fellas. Y'all have a good one.
You God too. Bless, John.
Man, he's a good one, Corey.
He's the best. I mean, it doesn't matter from West Coast to East Coast, Alaska, Hawaii. He knows all these recruits from a football standpoint, from a basketball standpoint, and his job has been even harder during the COVID-19 restrictions,
right?
Because he hasn't had an opportunity to evaluate these guys besides on film. But he does a tremendous job, and it's a great follow if you have an opportunity to follow him.
No question about that, and that's why you and he are so good together, because you follow the same path he follows. We'll be back with more PSR right here on Radio Alabama.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
I remember the 35 sweet goodbyes.
When you talk about Braxton Counts, remember this. Braxton and Jimmy Duncan, who is a 30-year congressman from Tennessee, these two guys can help anyone with governmental affairs. They have tremendous influence in both Montgomery, Alabama, and in Washington, D.C. And so many people rely on either the state or the federal government for their businesses. And Braxton and Jimmy can put you in front of the right people any time of the day, any hour of the day. So if you find yourself in need of working with Montgomery or with Washington, D.C., contact Braxton Counts at 251-476-9900. You know, I'm sorry Mark is not here for a lot of reasons, but more so for Daryl Barber than everything else this morning, because a few years back, Mark was a head coach at Fairhope High School, and he had a tremendous baseball player who was going to be his starting quarterback. And he came in at an early junction and told Mark, said, I've decided to give up football my senior year and concentrate on baseball and, you know, possibly being drafted and then going on and playing college baseball at a Division I university. Well, our buddy Daryl Barber has been hit with that same situation with one of the best basketball players in the state of Alabama, if not the best, Corey, and who has made the decision to concentrate on football, and then when basketball season comes, to continue to concentrate on getting ready to go to college, where he has already committed. And I'll let you and Daryl talk about that. But we'll let you have it now, Corey. But that is, I wish Mark were here to share some of his feelings about that as well.
Well, I know Coach Barber. Good morning, and thanks for joining us on the Prep Sports Report this morning.
Good morning, my friends. I appreciate you all for having me.
Coach, I tell you what, this past week when Kool-Aid McKinstry commits to Alabama, it was a situation to where I know you looked over him as that proud papa. And when I was watching your Instagram live feed and afterwards, I could tell how emotional you were and how happy you were for this young man making his football commitment to play for Nick Saban, but also making his basketball commitment to play for Nate Oates and the Crimson Tide as well. And he's one of those few athletes, kind of like Deion Sanders was, Bo Jackson, that can play two sports and get the most and make everybody around him better in both sports.
Right. No doubt. Yeah. It was a tough situation. We spoke about it a couple weeks prior to that. And, you know, I was a little disappointed, you know, because he was a big part of what we were going to do. And, we had wonderful practices this summer with him and, you know, looking forward to him leading this team and possibly, you know, trying to be Mr. Basketball as well as Mr. Football. But then, you know, one thing about me, if anybody knows me, at the end of the day, I'm proud of any kid. They have an opportunity to go to school. It doesn't matter if it's for football, basketball, baseball, kickball. So it's not about me. And I immediately got over that, man. And it was just a proud moment, and I'm excited for this young man and looking forward to the things he's going to do.
I tell you what, I'm looking forward to seeing what your team is going to do this coming basketball season, Coach. I know you guys lost a thrilling game to eventual state champion Huffman, and you guys continued to battle the last couple of years. But you're moving forward now, and I know anytime – one thing I know about Daryl Barber, anytime he's presented with a challenge, especially a defeating challenge – you take that and you let that motivate you, and you let that motivate your guys. When it happened to you at midfield, I saw you bounce back. When it happened to you at Pinson Valley, I saw you bounce back. I look forward to watching you bouncing back again this year also, Coach.
Most definitely, man. Like you said, if anybody knows me, like I said, of course we would love to have Kool-Aid on our roster, but losing Cam and Kool-Aid, you know, that's about 60 points. So, you know, the thing is now, you know, they can't get it done without Kool-Aid, or they can't get it done without Cam. What's Coach Barber going to do? And I have to remind people, man, in year 12, I've been fortunate enough to go downtown six times, you know, before Cam, with Cam, and I plan on doing the same thing afterwards. And to these guys now, man, we have, like I said, Joshua Grady Williams coming in, JoJo James, he's been in the starting lineup with Cam and Kool-Aid, and he's learned some valuable lessons from those guys. And like you said, man, anybody that knows me, I'm so excited and looking forward to the opportunity to coach these guys. You know, while it'll look different, you know, the goal and the blueprint remains the same, man. And I'm excited. And like I say, stay tuned, man. You know, I got something up my sleeve. You can believe that.
I know you do, Coach, and that's what I love about you. And look, one thing about Coach Barber and those sleeves, when it comes to postseason play, if he makes it to Birmingham, he is the sharpest dressed coach, along with his staff, that I've ever seen. So those sleeves always come with cufflinks included, Coach. And, you know, I tell you, this COVID-19 pandemic, you know, with you having to retool and rebuild, I know you were able to practice starting June 1, but now you're able to retool here, right here prior to the start of the season. When do you guys open up and talk to us a little bit about some more of, I know you can't go on a lot of tournaments now, but the schedule that's in front of you now due to the pandemic?
Right. Well, I'm excited, man. Looking forward to it. I went to see my former school play some basketball the other night, man. And like you said, it seems like the pandemic and the start of practice was just yesterday. But moving forward, we open up on the 16th. We'll host Center Point High School, man. And due to COVID, we were allowed to go out of the state, but we had been invited to Miller Grove over in Atlanta, Georgia. We were going over to Memphis, Tennessee, and we going over to Mississippi as well, but we're not able to do those things. So I just kind of replaced those showcase tournament with some tough teams. You know, we'll face Newton, Georgia, and Montgomery. We'll take on Jack Dawes. You know me. I love to go against the big dogs. We'll take on LaFleur. So, once again, the schedule is beefed up. You know, prepare. It's all about the end in mind, you know, the last seven. So I'm looking forward to it, man. Like I said, you guys on the team are looking forward to it as well.
Well, Coach Barber, I tell you what, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys get after it and keeping up with you guys throughout this entire season. And I just want to thank you for continuing to be such a tremendous role model, not only for young men, but for young women, and your Balling with Barber Academy, Skills Academy that you continue to do, and the role model you've been, not only for Kool-Aid, but for so many other guys, and your continued support of high school athletics here on the Prep Sports Report means a lot to me.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I've always appreciated you guys. Anytime you call me, you know I'm going to be there, and it's just a blessing, you know, to be thought of in such a light. So I just want to tell you all, I appreciate you all as well.
You're well thought of, Daryl. You've earned that.
I appreciate it, man.
You are. And good luck to you, and I don't expect you to miss a beat. I really don't. I expect you to see you downtown again.
That's the plan. You know that, most definitely. I look forward to it.
Take care. God bless, pal.
All right. Same to you all.
See you soon. Corey, let's go over these. Let's go right back over, and he will. If there's anybody that can be there, I love that he's playing Jack Dawes. I love he's playing, their teams are playing. I love that. Going to go over next week's playoff lineup, starting in 7A. Central of Phoenix City comes to Theodore. Daphne goes to Auburn. Hewitt Trustful is at Thompson. Oak Mountain is at Hoover. And let me tell you, that's eight good football teams, Corey.
You got to love it. And in Class 6A, Hillcrest Tuscaloosa at Opelika, Saraland at Lee Montgomery, Helena at Spanish Fort, Eufaula at Blount, Pinson Valley at Shades Valley, Briarwood Christian at Oxford, Mountain Brook at Gardendale, and Clay Chalkville at Homewood.
And in Class 5A, Pike Road visits Cooper Stadium. And that should be an interesting matchup. Pike Road 11-0 comes into play. Terry Curtis's UMS Wright team that is 7-4. But let me tell you something. Don't you dare look at that 7-4 against 11-0 and think that game won't be close, because I can promise you that will be a shootout at the OK Corral. Faith Academy goes to Demopolis. Selma is at St. Paul's. Andalusia goes to Lineville Ashland to play Central of Clay County. Alexandria is at Parker at Birmingham. Pleasant Grove is at Gunnersville. Fairview is at Ramsey, and Leeds is at Russellville.
In Class 4A, Jacksonville is at Alabama Christian. Mobile Christian at American Christian, which I think is going to be a wonderful game.
Yep.
Bibb County at Anniston. Hanley at Montevallo. Etowah at Haleyville. Northside at Madison Academy. Gordo at Aniana. And Good Hope at West Limestone.
In Class 3A, Trinity Presbyterian out of Montgomery goes to Slocum to play the Red Tops. Montgomery Academy is at Pike County. Thomasville is at T.R. Miller, and that's another one, Corey. That's another game that, man, that will be some kind of football game. Op is at Montgomery Catholic. Winfield is at Ohatchee. Walter Welburn is at Fife. Plainview at Piedmont. J.B. Pennington at Sachs.
In Class 2A, B.B. Comer at Abbeville, Clark County at Isabella, Leroy at Geneva County, G.W. Long at Lynette, Red Bay at Spring Garden, Addison at North Sand Mountain, Aliceville at Cleveland, and Westbrook Christian at Mars Hill.
In where are we going? To 1A?
Class 1A?
Yeah, 1A. Mm-hmm. Notasauga at Sweetwater, McKenzie at Linden, Keith at Brantley, Millery at Maplesville, Barry at Woodland, Raglan at Brilliant, Winterboro at Hubbardville, Pickens County at Decatur Heritage. I want to get this in, too, again. This morning, having a grand opening at Rooted and Grounded. That's at 2754 Dolphin Street. Phone number is 251-408-921-ALL. 1-0, and they're not just a coffee house with prayer, but a prayer encounter house that sells coffee. Let's gather and pray and encounter the living Father together. Rooted and Grounded has a prayer room that people can call and reserve for their prayer group, Bible study, work meeting, or whatever they need to get together with their people and study the Word of God. That's Rooted and Grounded at 2754 Dolphin Street in Mobile, Alabama. That's Carolyn Burdett, Carolyn Pilot Burdett. She and her husband came up with this idea. And, Corey, that is a great idea, I think. Everybody, you know, coffee's the segue into a lot of great conversations. That's the first time I've ever heard of something like this.
No question about it. You look at all the fellowship that takes place over coffee, and this is a wonderful opportunity for the grand opening for people to go ahead and get their caffeine or non-caffeine or just get any type of product that's sold there in the morning time.
Hadn't heard of that idea. That's a pretty doggone good one. And Carolyn Pilot, Burdett, former student, wonderful family. Man, oh man, I'm so excited for Caroline. And boy, that's a great idea. Wish I'd have thought of that. That's a great idea. Hey, we'll be back. We got it coming up, the Camp Grace segment right here on FM Talk 106.5 and Radio Alabama.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace. This morning, I want to talk about Ephesians 3:17. It says that Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. That Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. I got that this week from Carolyn Pilot Burdett, and it made me think about the right choice. And as I was going through some stuff of mine, you know, we can learn a whole lot by observing people who are able to keep themselves in their own zone of peace, happiness, and love. Peace, happiness, and love aren't just random feelings. They are a choice. It's a decision that we have to make by an act of our will. How many people do we see every day in our life, especially you people that are out there? I'm blessed. I get to spend every single working day with children between the ages of 13 and 15. And those children are a complete blessing because they come from different backgrounds. They come from different beliefs. They come from all different types of social situations. But the one thing that brings us all together is we're there to do what is right. In teaching children, I try to teach right is right and wrong is wrong. And there's no gray matter in between. And as we look all throughout our life, we're going to have plenty of opportunities to lose our peace, to lose our happiness, to lose our love, to lose our joy, because we all go through disappointments. The three of us here, I can promise you, the three of us here have been through huge disappointments in our life. All three of us have discussed that among ourselves, because in our own way, we hold each other accountable to a certain standard, to a standard of excellence in living our own life. And I can promise you, if I step out of line, Corey LeBounty will tell me about it. If Mark Lassiter steps out of line, myself or Corey will speak about that. And that's the joy of having men that are accountable to each other and are, like the Bible verse says, iron sharpens iron as men sharpen men. So we all have those times when things don't go our way. It's very easy to let the circumstances of life make us sour and dejected until we just go through the motions of day-to-day living. And I see that so often, just going through the motions of day-to-day living, just doing what you do, going home and going to bed, waking up the next day and just going through the motions again without joy, without happiness, without realizing what God can do in our lives if we turn every aspect of our life over to our Lord and Savior. But if we're going to live in victory, if we're going to thrive the way God intends us to, we've got to make the decision that we're going to enjoy our life. And in some shape, form, or fashion, we got to choose to be happy in spite of the circumstances that we face every single day. And today, you have that choice. You have that choice. And I hope that you will make a positive, process-minded choice to go with that peace, happiness, and love. And I add joy to that. You will see that your circumstances, they may not change, but you will most certainly change because you're going to become proactive instead of reactive as you go through the day. Make the decision that no matter what is going on, we will stay positive by responding, not reacting. We hope that you're ready to make that choice today.
Yeah, Rick, you're so right about being held accountable, and iron sharpens iron. That's so very important because you don't want to hang around anybody who's not going to make you a better person, or who is an energy life sucker, or who is always complaining. And those who do complain, you need to hang around them enough for them to see you as a positive example as to, hey, I wish I could be like you, or I wish I could be as excited or as joyful as you are, or why are you always smiling? That's because, you know, no matter how bad things are going in our lives, there's always something to be thankful for. There's always a blessing inside of every situation, and that's exactly what this 2020 year has taught us across the board, whether it's from a hurricane standpoint, Rick, whether it's from a COVID-19 standpoint, whether it's from a racial reconciliation standpoint. You know, you have to find joy and happiness in every situation in life and to see the blessings sometimes that come with the turmoil that exists in our life. And Rick, you said it so well about iron sharpening iron. And, you know, in this room, there's a lot of iron that has been sharpened. And even though sometimes it's not what I want to hear or Coach Lasseter wants to hear or you want to hear, sometimes the truth does hurt in this situation, but it's all done out of love. And the type of encouragement that we give one another in this brotherhood and sisterhood in the Prep Sports Report is why all of us get up at 5:30 or 5:45 every Saturday morning and come and be with each other 52 weeks out of the year.
You know, I get excited. I get tickled sometimes. We have a new guy on the board, and Ian, I got the opportunity to hear him one night on You and Doc's show, and I heard passion. I heard passion and a zest for life that a young person was exhibiting about a game he loves and a team that he loves, just like you do for that Crimson. You know. But I love that about that young man. And to hear that from him, it's like I told you, I said, you need to put a seatbelt on him now because he has got that passion. And I love that about you, Ian. And we are blessed to have you in our presence and to be a part of PSR, young man. That is something that we will forever cherish. I can promise you that. It's going to be a neat week, Corey. There's about eight, I counted eight or nine really big-time matchups, and I can't wait. I can't wait to see what happens Friday night.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And again, out of our 16 teams, having nine of them have an opportunity and five of them having home games.
Right.
So that allows you to get out in this great November weather so far. Because, again, you're looking at, well, one week it's cold, one week it's warm. But the temperatures have been great for high school football these last few weeks. And postseason play, get out and support high school football, the playoffs. Get out and support high school basketball that is starting. I know McGill Tulane has a tournament coming up next week, so go ahead and get out and support that. Find your basketball games. I watched Blunt and LaFleur play the first high school basketball game under COVID conditions, and the social distancing was there, the masks were there, and it's just going to take a lot of getting used to within the basketball setting also. But, you know, we want to wish all these teams the best of luck and hope all of them will be able to finish their seasons and get to Birmingham where they ultimately want to be.
It's going to be a neat week, great week. And also, we got something out there maybe coming in the Gulf this week. So keep your eyes and ears open there and stay safe. And remember this, as 10cc carries us through here. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you, folks. We'll see you here same time, same place next week on PSR and Radio Alabama.